Good morning. Oops. Sorry. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Diane B., and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive eater living in the steps one day at a time. Today is Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 42, second paragraph, beginning with "Then they outline the spiritual answer." Today's readers are 12 steps will be Stephanie L., 12 traditions, Alex K. The text will be read by Dana P., and at the end, the vision for you, our book is meant to be suggestive only, it will be Shelley E. Newcomer greeter, not sure yet, and announcements will be Lois P. Let's see. So the reference numbers for yesterday, 7 a.m., November 14th, Monday, November 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,639. So it's 19639. And this morning, Tuesday, 11/15/22, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,641. That's 19641. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie L. to please read the 12 steps. Stephanie?
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, Pat.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. And now, Alex K., doing the 12 traditions. Alex, you're up.
Thank you. Alex K. from California, recovered compulsive eater. Hello, everyone. Traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Thanks, Alex. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your short share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. In order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We're on page 42, second paragraph, beginning with, "Then they outline the spiritual answer." We're reading one paragraph only. So Dana P., would you please get us started?
Love to, Diane. It's Dana P. here. I am in California. Then they outlined the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. Though I had been only a nominal churchman, their proposals were not intellectually hard to swallow. But the program of action, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. It meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window. That was not easy. But the moment I made up my mind to go through with this process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. Oh my goodness. Please watch my time because I could do a whole special edition on this paragraph. And, you know, so this follows where the two fellas that came to see our friend here grinned. And why did they grin? I mean, they grinned because they had a solution. They were not in the problem. That was what their grinning was about, or my interpretation of it anyway. And how beautiful that, you know, as the fact proved to be, you know, he did get relief. And it's so amazing because what came to me this morning was that this decision that he made, so made a decision to turn our will in our life, it's kind of step three-ish, you know, one, two, three here. And he's making this decision, but it's not the decision to put down the drink. It's the decision to consider, if you will, that maybe the way that I'm thinking is not so good. And the way that I'm thinking is the cause of all my problems today. And, you know, so many traditions, and so they're talking about spirituality, right? You know, he says the church man, and so that stuff's not so hard to follow, but how to do it, that's pretty out there. And when he talks about the spiritual answer, you know, the spiritual answer is not going to a cave in the Himalayas and sitting on a rock and going into some deep samadhi state, or, well, I could mention a few other ones that, you know, ecstasy or orgasm, or, you know, that's not the spiritual experience. The spiritual experience is what we get as we work through these steps, the 12 steps. And that's what the program is about. That's what the program of action is about. I have to get busy. So once I accept the fact that it's my thinking that's creating this problem, I mean, certainly there is the allergy of the body aspect to it, but for me, it's like, what keeps me sober, what keeps me clean is this process, these steps on a continual basis. As a recovered person, 10, 11, 12, 10, 11, 12, every single day. So, you know, it's, and the thing about my God is this blockage. You know, once I can get clear about these things that are blocking me from God, that's when the sun shines through. And so I'm just really grateful to be of service this morning, and to know that I don't know how to do it, just to, that I don't have to fix the problem. So that was the drastic change that I had to make, thinking that I had to fix it and that I had to do it. And self-reliance, it was good for a while. It lasted me quite a while until it didn't anymore. And what I realized is that everything, all of those things I thought I was doing, God was doing through me. And so once I get connected, my life runs smooth. Not to say there aren't problems, but my life runs smooth and there is serenity. So I'm going to pass with that. Thanks, Diane, for your service.
Thank you so much, Diana, for getting us off on a great start. So now I will take names of people who would like to share on this paragraph.
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Ronnie
in Missouri.
Okay. I'll tell you who I have. I have Bonnie B. I had somebody that I missed there. I think it might have been Elaine.
Lynn K.
Hold on. Bonnie B, Elaine G. I have Ronnie, Lynn K, and Stephanie.
Yeah.
Did I miss anybody? Anybody else? All right, let's get started. Bonnie B, lead us off, please.
All right. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to start my timer. There I go. Thank you, Diane, for leading, and thank you, Dana, for a beautiful opening share. I want to just echo what Dana said. There is so much to unpack in this paragraph. Oh, my. So then they outline the spiritual answer. When did they outline that? After the paragraph that said, I came to the end of myself. So that's the first thing that jumped out to me. We don't share this with people that are not at the end of themselves, because it's not going to work for them until we get to the end of ourselves. And then it said they outlined the spiritual answer. The spiritual answer is totally different than anything I was ever given in my life. I've done how many programs? And every single one was always, this is what I need to do. Follow these steps. This is what I need to do. This is the first time I was ever introduced to a program where it was a spiritual program. Where what I was told to do was turn it over to God, ask God, seek God, go to God, ask God, seek God, go to God. Everything led back to God. So it was... What I came to understand is that it wasn't me, it was God. And in the past, I always thought it was me, and that was the chink in the armor for me. And then what was it that I needed to connect to, or what was that program of action? It was the steps and not the tools. When I first came into program, I've been in program for 10 years, I thought it was the tools. And unfortunately, maybe the tools worked for a while until, like Dana said, they didn't work. Right? So it's not the tools. It'll never be the tools. It will be the steps. And the steps is the spiritual stuff. And then I jump down to that last sentence where it says, but the moment I made up my mind to go through the process. You know, what is that for each of us? I used to get so tired of hearing people say, it takes what it takes. But you know what? It takes what it takes. Because we have to make up our mind to go through that process. And what's the process? Release everything into God. Turn it all over to God. Realize that I can't do it. If I could have done it, I would have done it. That I have a different DNA than most people. Not good, not bad, just different. And that it requires a different game plan than most people. Fully conceive, accept that, embrace that, and that's where life got good for me. And so thank you for letting me share. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God today in the state of Minnesota. I'll pass.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next we have Elaine G. And what state are you from, Elaine?
Hi, this is Elaine G. from New York, Eastern Standard Time.
I read the chapter quickly before she read them. Anyway, I realized that since I've been in OA 8 years, that if I don't have an honest desire and willingness, I won't get this program. I mean, and I have to have this higher power in my life, because I can't do this myself. I really can't. When I think I could do it myself, oh God, my whole life gets screwed up and messed up. No. And all I know is that when I do my prayers and meditations in the morning, get on a meeting, reach out to the fellowship network, pray all day long to God, and then I keep my disease away. When I keep on praying, there's no room for my disease, you know? And when I don't, oh, my God, my disease is, like, rampant, you know? Anyway, that's all I got to say, and thanks a lot.
Thanks, Elaine. Next, we have Ronnie, and I did not get the initial of your last name or your state, Ronnie, so if you could give us that, please.
Sure. It's Ronnie, B as in boy, in Missouri. Thank you. So Ronnie, compulsive overeater. I love this talk. Last night, I had a very late conversation with someone I sponsor, and we went through everything that was going on with her. So first, we went through using what the program provides, right? The steps, talking with others, going to meetings, doing all of those things. And then I said, but at the end of the day, it's me and my higher power. I need to go to my higher power to ask for direction and release from the bondage of myself. No one else can give that to me. I can't give that to anyone else. But I can go within, because for each of us, I believe, we have our own way of doing it. There is no right or wrong. There is no, I do it better than you, or you do it better than me, you know, or may you do it better than me, because no one does. It's what works for me. And for me, it's generally being very still. Being very still and allowing that power to flow through me. I don't always have to feel it. I just have to be still and allow it. So I have to do that for myself. And the last week has been pretty trying. And I could always do better. Let me say that. There's always so much better to do. But I do know I spent a lot of time praying, meditating, contemplating, reading, being still, asking for direction, you know, and that's what it's going to take for me. And when I'm having an issue, even with food, all I have to say is, God help me. And if there's willingness there, suddenly things change. I mean, not the externals, but within myself, things just change. So I always want to remember that I can't give that kind of a gift to anyone, and no one can give me that. They can just share their own experience, strength, and hope, and I need at the end of the day to just go within and say, now what is that for me? To thine own self be true. Anyway, grateful to be here. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. Lynn Kay, you're up, and if you could give us your state, please.
Good morning. My name's Lynn Kay from Missouri, so that's Central Time. And I love everybody's share. I'm so appreciative of it. Thankful, brought up so many points. And I'm sorry, grateful month, you know. Anyway, I'm sorry, I just got up. The mornings are especially the time if I make a devotion like here and there and listen to a meeting, you know, I can go back during it. The day. This is a good way to start my day. My oars in the water, you know. And so I'm just so happy to be here. And if it's anything like recovery in the technical way, you know, I realize I've had a lot of the unhopeful state limits, and then maybe this can be done, like this man considered, maybe this could be done. And then I've gotten to action, you know, and it would work for a while. But and then people would rock my boat, like when I put down the beverage stuff. My family, like, they didn't like me, you know. And now I put down the eating stuff. My husband, he can't stand, you know, that, I don't know what he can't stand, but, you know, and sometimes it rocks my boat and I go off, you know. But this time, it's what God thinks of me, you know. This time, you know, he's not so much my tool like everybody's already remarked about, but he's the one that has the all power. I was always going on the linear, you know, uneven linear the circles, you know, thinking, you know, with that, you know, that's just the way it goes, relapse. You know, it's not the way it goes, you know, it's like part of my recovery, but I've been around in these rooms since 2015, and, you know, abstinence is just like everybody said, you know, what he like outlined in this chapter. But I made the decision and I'm awesome, and in all that my higher power is helping me with my resolve every day and doing my sponsor work and doing my, you know, 8 page 86 and then when we retire at night, I mean, it's all given to God, and I just love the prayers. They all tell you how to do the next step, the next step. I mean, to me, it's a spiritual program's got to be. And I've stayed absent 3 months now from alcoholic foods. And I appreciate your meeting, ma'am, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lynn. That was Lynn Kay. And now we have Stephanie. And Stephanie, I did not get your initial or your state.
Oh, good morning again, everyone. It's Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. And man, they outlined the spiritual answer and program of action. And I've been around these rooms for a while, and that I get that I have this problem. Well, I guess I kind of got that I have this problem because I had periods of recovery and I had periods of relapse. But what I didn't understand is that spiritual answer that this program requires from me, the solution requires that I find a power greater than myself, because I don't have power. And that did mean that I had to throw away several lifelong conceptions out the window, because I was raised to believe that, you know, I could do anything, I could fix anything, I could solve anything, I had to be strong, never let him see you sweat. So I believed that I somehow had the power to fix this problem, and I could fix problems in other parts of my life, but I could never fix this problem. This problem has plagued me from an early age. So it meant I had to throw away those conceptions of myself and the world around me. And here's the kicker too. The moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, meaning the moment I made up my mind to work these steps to find power that I didn't have, my condition was relieved. And I heard a speaker say, you know, willingness allows grace to enter. So my willingness to believe that I couldn't fix this, step one, I have this problem that I cannot fix, step one, right, opened the door for me to find a spiritual solution and a power that has taken this problem away from me. Because guess what? I am Fred. I am Jim. I have this problem that I can't solve without God, without a higher power. And I'm so grateful to be here with all of you this morning to get to talk about that. So can't wait to hear the rest of the shares. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie. Okay, now I can take some more names. But again, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. I'm ready for more names.
Noel E.
Noel E. Star one.
Audrey M. P. Audrey M. P.
Audrey M. P.
Amanda L.
Amanda L.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. I can take another one. Or
Dion R.
I'm sorry, Dion?
Dion R.
Can you spell your name, please? Dion. Okay. Okay, so we have Noel E, Audrey M P, Amanda L, Reggie O, and I think it was Dion R. So Noel, star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Noel E, gratefully recovered in Louisiana. Thank you, everybody, for your service on the line. So happy to be here. This paragraph is so good. The line that stands out to me is, it meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window. And what's interesting is I have heard a lot of people sharing that they could do it on their own, that they had the power. And the lifelong conception that I keep throwing out, that God keeps showing me I have to throw out of the window, is that I'm the problem. You know, is that I am the one, you know, causing all the destruction everywhere. That if I just wasn't around, things would be easier. And I truly, that for me really begins with throwing out the conceptions of, you know, my higher power, the God of my indoctrination. That was shameful and keeping score and wagging a finger at me and, you know, just so disappointed in me for, you know, existing and for feeling so much and for being, spastic and loud and just this little girl, you know, like the one that I have now who turned 8 last week, who is just all the things God made her to be, you know, and doesn't have to modify any of them. That's what my higher power shows me each day, is that, my own conception of my higher power is what is the opposite of what I was taught, which is, this is what God is like, these are the rules, this is what you follow. And now it's like I'm just completely always curious about my higher power, because it shifts and changes all the time, and the only thing that's constant and continues to be more great than I could imagine is the love my higher power has for me. That's the only thing I know for sure. And even when I think I know it for sure, God rains down love in a different way, more powerful and more beautiful than I've ever experienced. So, I'm happy to stay curious and open. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Noelle. Next, we have Audrey P. And if you could give us your, MP, excuse me, Audrey MP.
Oh, good morning, Audrey MP. I'm calling in from Santa Monica, California. It's a beautiful day. Thank you, Team Tuesday, and thank you for the shares. God, I've heard so much, you know, the willingness and keeping an open mind. My conception about coffee, my conception about, you know, what is going to work and what's not going to work. I've been in program 29 years, and with the grace of God, recovered from the horrible disease of bulimia and the food. I've had different ways to be abstinent, different ways, but of working this program and with a lot of people. My first sponsor of 22 years was a miracle, and now I'm so grateful to have found vision and so grateful to have found the focus on the first 164 pages and the word entire abstinence. I have this conception, I have to share this, of what my coffee should be like. even to drink coffee or not to drink coffee. And I was talking with another fellow, and I was like, you know, my food's a little wonky. I'm in school. If anybody is in school, still studying, I'm 65, trying to get a degree for whatever, life enhancement. I don't want to retire. I don't know. I have all these ideas and conceptions, but I have a hard time when I write a paper. And I was told yesterday that maybe my coffee is a little too sexy. And, you know, I do like when my non-sugar, I'm drinking this Malk, M-A-L-K, and that gets pure, you know, non-dairy, no sugar, and it foams up like a champ. And I need it. I need myself. Well, now, what is that? What does that make? I'm really baffled by sexy coffee today. And I am going to be making phone calls and 10 steps and exploring possibilities of drinking coffee black. And that is, you know, makes me want to cry. But, you know, I know that I have a higher power. He's gotten me this far. I'm above ground, and I'm here in recovery with all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Amanda L.
Hi, I'm Amanda L. in Arizona. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, wonderful. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. I'm gratefully recovered. I'm just so thankful for the time change. We don't change time in Arizona, so vision's a little bit later for me now. I normally listen to you guys while I'm driving to work, so it's nice to be able to share today. These are going to be my first holidays recovered, so I'm just so grateful that I can eat what I eat today. On Thanksgiving, things don't have to change. But in regards to the reading, what really stood out for me was the words pretty drastic. And I'm just so grateful to have a God in my life, to have a higher power in my life, to have this abstinence, to have this recovery, to have this peace. And what I do today might seem pretty drastic to someone who's normal or someone who doesn't have this disease like I do, or how the big book talks about some of us are hard alcoholics, and I'm a hard eater. But I am just so grateful for all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. Next, we have Reggie O.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered and living in Texas today. And I've always loved this paragraph. And for that one sentence, the moment I made up my mind to go through the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. And I had remembered in Bill's story, he said something so similar. He said, you know, these were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity, and so on. Well, you know, this Fred had to get that he was really licked. He had to get the step one. He had to get the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, and he had to snuff out that self-knowledge he had, all of the success and brilliance that he showed in every other area of his life was not going to get him the recovery he wanted, and he would end up again where he was here before. And you know, for me, I made up the first time I remember being recovered in this program, and we didn't work the steps then, but I just woke up one morning and I felt myself totally different. I was so frustrated with going back and picking up the food. It was many years ago, and I woke up and I knew that I was willing to do whatever it took, and I did, and it worked miracles in my life. It was a very long time before I got to vision and really started studying and really understood the mental condition and the physical condition, you know, the craving and the compulsion. And and that the steps would do it. And I've done that, you know, I've done that many times, and it's a continuing process. And you know what's different for me this time is I have actually, you know, I do whatever my sponsor suggests because I trust her. She has, you know, a beautiful recovery. And what I have not done in the past was follow through with the spiritual program of action, which is steps 10, 11, and 12. And oh my goodness, you know, really jumping into 10, 11, and 12, you know, finding that power, living through that power, living in spiritual principles. I have a 10-step buddy now. I do an evening review every night. I have a spiritual practice that I do on a regular basis, and I do service, step 12, on a regular basis. And I'm finding that, you know, those are the things that I kind of wane off after getting my, you know, amends done. And but this is different and very different, adding 10, 11, and 12 to a regular part of the mix. And that's just, you know, that's a big part of the spiritual program of action. And one of my practices now, which is really, it's a big one, is pausing, you know, finding the time to take more pauses through the day and ask God for the next right thought or action. Reggie's been dependent on Reggie, like I think Fred was dependent on Fred. But, you know, dependence on God and, you know, this program and the steps are making, and the last three right now are making a tremendous difference, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Reggie. Now we have Dion R. Star one to unmute.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for your service. I didn't get your name, but thank you. I was spelling my name, but I know it's muted, so. I am Dion R. from Ohio, and thank you all for the beautiful shares that inspired me to open up my heart and receive as well. And I, too, like what Reggie just said, that last part is what captured my soul today is, but the moment I made up my mind to go through the process, I had the curious feeling. And I was like, curious feeling? Did I have a curious feeling? Yes, I did. I don't know, but I remember the first day. After following the spiritual program of action as outlined, when the food no longer was on top of my head throughout the day, I'm like, whoa, where'd the food not go? That to me, I guess, what I would describe as a curious feeling, like it didn't happen again another day. And another day, and staying in contact and in the circle of recovery with my sponsors. Co-sponsors and everything. I'm like, oh, this does really work. And then I got angry. Why did I do this when they first suggested? You know, and of course that's ludicrous because it took what it took. It took what it takes, right, for us to concede as a kid. It took how many butt whoopings for me to say, okay, I will do this. I will obey or I will do what I'm supposed to do, you know. And today to know that my higher power gave me a loving chance with so many people didn't get that I know and see and lost, you know, inside the room as well as outside the room. So, yes, throwing those old conceptions out the window was hard, but it was well worth it. Newcomers, ooh-wee, it's worth it, it's worth it, it's worth it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Dion. I think we have time for about two, maybe three more people. So if you'd like to share today and you have not shared in the past 3 days.
Polly Q.
Ready to take your Polly, got you. I can take one or two more.
Joanne Cody.
Joanne, and who was behind you?
Jody E.
Got it. Okay, so Polly Q, you're going to start, please.
Thank you. Hi, it's Polly Q in Northern California, recovered. Thank you for your service. So what's the problem here? Why is this going to be a drastic program of action? Pretty drastic. You know, I mean, the thing about it is once I start, I can't stop. And once I stop, I can't stay stopped. This is what Fred has learned. So now he's learned that it doesn't matter about and it doesn't matter how much self-knowledge he is, how smart he is, pretty competent guy. But so what is causing him to not stay stopped? The unmanageability of his life. And what causes the unmanageability of my life? Waking up in the morning, not getting my way, not having things work out, having to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Who knows? Who cares? I have a human mind. I indulge in ego based. I don't indulge, although I do. I automatically have ego-based thinking. My life is going to become unmanageable enough that if I don't do this drastic program of action every day, I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat, and because I have a physical allergy, I'm going to eat compulsively. I'm an addict. It's a threefold disease, and the only thing I can do involves correcting the spiritual malady. I'm going to have to live by these spiritual principles. Once in a while? Nope. Every day. Man, I found it out the hard way. I white-knuckled it like nobody's business for 13 years until finally couldn't do it. The unmanageability built up, and I couldn't do it anymore. So the solution is very drastic, and I got to be committed to it, or I will try. That ego-based thinking will take over, and that ego-based thinking is going to need a lot of food, And so 10, 11, and 12 every day, nothing about that's changed over the last 6 years, every day. And really, really building a solid relationship with a higher power that I depend on more than food. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Polly. Next, I have Joanne. I didn't get your last initial, though. Sorry. Star one to unmute, Joanne. Okay, maybe I missed the name. I also have Gildy E. Star one to unmute.
Joanne P. Pennsylvania. Can you hear me?
Joanne P. Yes, now we can. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble with this unmuted stuff. But anyway, thank you so much for your service, and thank you all for your shares and the beautiful meeting and this wonderful book and the message we get. The spiritual answer just pops right out to me because, without my higher power and by the grace of God, I am a recovered compulsive overeater, working these steps one day at a time with using the program of action, which really has taught me honesty and humility, love, compassion, and of course my faith in God, and surrendering one day at a time. Knowing every morning when I wake up I'm an addict, and if I don't do this, the drastic change here for me is I got to do it every single day, and I have to give up me, my ego, my way of doing it, my self-righteousness, and all that other stuff that I lived with for most of my life. So, I am just so thankful for all of you and for this program and for God. And I do believe that this book was divinely inspired by him. And how lucky we are to have these 12 steps and this program of action to relieve us of our chronic illness, our addiction, or whatever it is. So with that, I pass. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joanne. And our last speaker is, I think your name was Gildy E?
Jody E.
Jody E, thank you. What state are you from?
California.
Great. Thank you so much. Sorry about that.
No problem. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E, gratefully recovered in California. So, yes, I've heard about this spiritual answer, this spiritual connection with a higher power as being paramount, and also the program of action, working all 12 steps and living in steps 10, 11, and 12, which involve action, continuous personal inventory daily, nightly reviews, spot check inventories, prayer and meditation, seeking God's will for my life, turning my will and my life over to the care of God, carrying this message, working with others, giving of myself my time voluntarily, freely, so that I can help the next compulsive overeater who's still suffering. This is a way of life, of self-sacrifice and service, so that I can help the next person. And this program of action, this spiritual way of life, changes me over time as I commit to it, as I persevere in it, one day at a time, year after year. I become a different person. And the promises of the program come true. It's a way of life, a spiritual way of life that I'm so grateful to have been given, to have found. Did I want to be a compulsive overeater? Was this my ambition as a child? No. Is this the way to a spiritual way of life for everyone? No. That's for those of us who have this disease of compulsive overeating, of an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, that turns out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I get to recover, I get to become enlightened, basically, little by little. I become a better person. And for that, I am so grateful. And I'm so grateful I found this meeting, which brought me to the intensive study of this beautiful book, which I agree has been channeled by my higher power. And with that, I pass.
Whoops. Thank you, Jody. That was perfect timing. So we're going to close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the serenity prayer. And will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. My pleasure. Good morning. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 164 of the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away your wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.